At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, it's JD here, and I really hope you're enjoying the countdown so far. I want to tell you about something special we've got going on, though. Every year we do something called a pod list. It's a podcast playlist where I solicit you, the listener, to create your favorite pavement jams. That's right, if you are musically talented, or even if you are not, get your band together or pick up your fucking acoustic guitar and jam your fucking balls out. That's what I want. From there, take the WAV file, email it to me at jd@meetingmalcolmist.com or send it via WeTransfer, and Bob's your uncle. That's all it takes, and you will be on the Meeting Malcolmists pod list 5. And now, on with the countdown.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
At track 32, we have the song Grave Architecture.
Come on in. Yeah, sorry.
That's
I was trying to
great.
Stick that in, yeah.
Oh, damn. I stepped on it.
That's okay. I should have prepared you.
What are your initial thoughts of Grave Architecture?
This was a funny one that when you said it to me, I think the album that I really kind of really felt like really grabbed me was Wowie Zowie. And yeah, this song is like the come on in, like right away. You're like, oh yeah.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to the countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band, Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own Top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and an old pair of socks. You know the kind that have toes in them? How will your favorite song fare in the ranking? You will need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Scott from North Dakota. Scott,
yes.
How are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm doing well, and you, sir?
I am excellent. I'm always excellent when I get to talk Pavement with somebody.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
So, grew up in Minnesota, small town, but not that far from the Twin Cities, and It's small town. Things come slowly. And I don't want to say a late adopter to Pavement, but I graduated in 1996 from high school, and I was all about the grunge movement, you know, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, all of that. And I didn't know much about indie rock at all or any indie anything until I went to college. I had heard of Pavement when I was in high school. I had friends who were into them, but I was so, you know, set on grunge that it's like, this is what we're going to listen to. And I kind of wrote them off at first without hearing them because for whatever reason, I was like, oh, Pavement, it's like going to be heavy, more industrial, you know, maybe like East German KMFDM or, you know, something really that I might not enjoy.
Yeah.
And then I was completely wrong about that. I was just riding with a friend and it was right when Bright in the Corners came out.
Okay.
And we were just riding in his car and I was like, what is this? And he's like, this is Pavement. And I was like, no. And I was like, this is not what Pavement sounds like. And it literally from there was just a beeline to the store to pick up everything I could get my hands on. And, you know, it would have been my last, you know, 2 years of college, give or take. And it was, obviously, Pavement was up there, and then right at that same time, Built to Spill, Modest Mouse, all these, you know, other indie bands, but Pavement was the one that I was just like, oh my God, where has this been my whole life?
Oh,
and
yeah,
and you know, it changes your life. It really, really does. It's, you know, cliche, but it's like music saves people, and it's like once I found this, or once this was presented to me, it's what I wanted to hear all the time.
Yeah.
And so I went out, you know, bought that. And I remember buying, so I went a little out of order because, again, this is still, there weren't a ton of fan sites. There wasn't a ton on the internet. So you just had to go and buy and see what happened. And I picked up Terror Twilight, which, divisive record, you know, for some people, for me, absolutely loved it. There's so much stuff in there that was just jangly and interesting and different and fun, but also, I mean, it's hard to explain, but I remember like growing up as a kid and radio was all we had. And every song was about love, and it was just straight up hitting you over the head with it. And here was something that you had to go decipher these lyrics, and you could decipher them in a thousand different ways. And if you got sick of the lyrics, you could just go and listen to, you know, the music itself. And that was just something that, you know, I had been looking for forever. So that would have been roughly like 1998, 99. And I was living in Minneapolis. I got an internship, and I got to see them on that last tour. So the first time
in 99?
Yeah. I saw them. I remember this too, because they played two dates and I only could go to one, because the other date I was seeing Slater Kinney. They were like back to back nights. So I was an intern at the time. So, you know, I was working during the day, and then as much as I can, I'd go to First Avenue where the show was. And I remember very little, because it was, again, 1999. Yeah. But I remember they opened with Here, which I thought was just such an odd opener, because it's just such a chill, just laid back, you know, didn't come out with a big punch. And it just set the tone. And I remember, what I remember about that gig is Stephen, or Malkmus, had Christmas lights, but they weren't, around his microphone stand.
That's
and that
right.
that was just about it for stage presence. And again, this is the first time I've seen this band. When I'd only seen pictures before that, I actually, when I looked at them, I didn't know who the singer was. And I thought Mark was the singer.
Because he stands in the center.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, that he's got to be the singer. And Nope, you get there and I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, I remember, you know, buying after that, you know, the Major League EP or the single with the additional ones. And, you know, I got very into them, and then they went away. And I was like, oh, well, this sucks. You know, and they never were far from my playlist. They were always there. And it you know, it was the first band that I really remember going, oh, I won't get to see these guys again. And that was frustrating, because I had felt like I had only gotten into them a year or a year and a half before. And yes, could I have gotten to them earlier? Sure. If I had been born in a bigger town with better radio, with better, you know, a college town maybe, where that could have been a lot more easily found. But, you know, growing up in rural Minnesota, you got AM radio, you got farm reports, and then you got pop radio. So it was very difficult to find those. But yeah, that's kind of my beginning with the band, and just becoming infatuated with them.
So, question.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it slipped my mind.
Oh, no.
What was the question? Oh, the question was, so did that lead you to SM solo work or PSOI or anything like that?
Yeah, I was, and that's, we'll get to that. I have some linkage there, but that's okay. I immediately went out and followed the solo work, which, again, the first record just blew me away. And I listened to it on just repeat forever. And I would say, at least with the solo stuff, the first four albums, I just ate up. And after that, it wasn't because I thought the music was any different. It's more that I just got older and I was listening to less new music. And that's something I've
weird
been,
how that happens.
I hate it though. You know, I finally figured out that if, you know, and it took me till here, that if you keep listening to new music, if you make time for it, it comes right back, the enjoyment, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I've tried to set aside and, you know, just shut the TV off and listen to music for an hour, and it's really helped. But
I do that every morning. Every morning I get up around 5:30 and I listen to at least one record.
Yep.
You know, or a playlist or whatnot. And that sort of sets the tone for my day.
Yeah. See, and I'm an accountant and a teacher by trade. So I teach at a local community college, but I do taxes on the side. And this is busiest time of year for me. But
I bet.
I can pour through, you know, 6-7 albums in a sitting. You know, just having the music on while I work and just pound away and work. And the music will still just kind of seep in. And upon, you know, second or third listenings, all of a sudden I'm going back and I'm like, I got to hear this song particularly again, because there's something in there. And that's really helped. But long story longer, those solo records were, and whether it was, you know, technically him or him with the Jicks, and I saw him, I don't know, a couple times on those tours when he would come through Minneapolis, and again, loved it, absolutely loved it. And, you know, he did it in store. At the Electric Fetus in Minneapolis, a pretty famous record store for Minneapolis. And I remember being intimidated because the stuff you read, oh, he's aloof, he's kind of standoffish, you know, but he's very intelligent. And he played, I don't know, 3 or 4 songs off whatever record that was. And then you sign up and you shake hands. And he talked to me for like 5 minutes. And he couldn't have been more gracious with everyone in line. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, they say, don't meet your heroes. And I'm like, well, no, this was fantastic. This was a really nice situation. So,
yeah, I've only ever had good experiences, but I'm like you, very nervous because he's just so goddamn cool. You know, like that's like, you can't plan for that intangible,
right?
The coolness factor, you know? It's difficult to relate to, especially for me. I'm cool and underqualified.
Oh yeah, and I'm just like grew up Southern California, you know, playing tennis and, you know, doing all these things, and, you know, but also with skateboarding, and then, you know, he was in bands like still when he was in high school and stuff, and it's all these stuff that, you know, I had kids like that in high school too, but I felt the same way. I'm like, these guys are cool. And I mean, I took piano lessons forever, but I never translated that into, you know, right, thinking about, oh, you could be in a band or you could do something. And it was just like, nope, it's piano, it's nerdy, it's never going to work. And it's like, you know.
Ben Folds would argue with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So what's your go-to record at this point? Is it Brighton still? Like, because that was your first? Or
no? Or
obviously it changes over the years. Yeah.
For the longest time, it was Crooked Rain, just because it's
a masterpiece.
Yeah. It, and again, just out the gate, just how the shambling start of that record.
Yep.
And then, you know, the cowbell kicks in and just, I still get goosebumps from that. And for a long time, that was it. And my not least favorite, but I thought Wowie Zowie for the longest time was, there's so many weird songs on there. Like you take a song like Half a Canyon, which I adore, but it is weird. It is out there, and he's just, you know, screaming, and it's kind of nonsense. And I find myself now going to Wowie Zowie because it is so, I mean, just starting off with We Dance, which is again, just this kind of slow burning kind of almost ballady at points.
Yes.
And then just the rest of that record with, you know, Grave Architecture and Pueblo and Grounded. And, you know, those are just the ones off the top of my head, but again, AT&T and it did top to bottom. And it's a little bit longer record, which I like as well.
When you've only got 5 LPs to sort of satiate yourself. Now there's lots of EPs too, but
yes,
5 main LPs along is nice, right?
Right. Which again, just to, I always have liked that I'm a Modest Mouse fan as well. Not that, you know, we need to get into that, but their first Modest Mouse's first 2 albums were like both 74 minutes.
And oh, wow.
This They're is also the, back. Yeah. This is also back CDs. When like a CD would cost $15 to $18 and I didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, I would buy these records that had so much music on it when I could. And I just appreciated that. But that longer album, and it really ebbs and flows as well, which I love. And it can go from just something that's really simple and straightforward to something that other bands, it might end up as a B-side or on the cutting room floor because it is that different. But absolutely love that record now. That's my go-to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. And it harkens back to those original three EPs with some of the more, you know, minute and a half, like noise art sort of gems that are on there.
Which again, you know, getting into Watery Domestic and all of that, you know, like the first time I heard like Forklift, I'm like, what is this? and you compare that to, you know, like anything off the later stuff, and it's a weird transition, but you know, a lot of bands do that. You know, they start off, you know, either fast and punky or weird, or they don't know what they're doing, and the songs are like a minute and a half, but you can still sense the structure there. You can sense that this could be, you know, building to something. And like a lot of those first, I don't go back to a ton of the stuff prior to Slanted, I think because of that, because I didn't find out about a lot of these. I didn't have access to them. Yeah. You know, you couldn't download them. Most of it was out of print. You'd be lucky if you could find it in a secondhand bin.
That's
and if you did, hooray, you know, hunting for records. And those are the ones I don't revisit a ton, but there are also so many gems in there as well that I'm like, you really need to give that a better chance.
It's nice that it's on vinyl now too.
Yes.
That the Westing compilation is on vinyl.
Like, yep.
That's a treat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause those EPs are, especially Sidetracks, is tough to get your hands on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't buy as much vinyl as I used to, but I used to have a big problem of going on to eBay and just any 7-inch I could get my hands on, you know,
right.
Like anything that I could really, really knock down. And, you know, if it's a reasonable price, I bought it because why not? And I've tapered that a little bit, but I don't know if I'm missing like at least a US single. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I haven't looked in a while, but I grabbed as many of those as I could, just because I couldn't get them anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. Did you go to any of the reunion shows like in 2010 or in 2022?
Yep. In 2010, they played at a terrible venue in Minneapolis called the Roy Wilkins Auditorium, okay. Which is it's an auditorium that was built, I don't know, in the 20s or 30s. It's just concrete. The sound is miserable. It has a huge main floor, which gives you room to spread out, which was fun. And they opened with Cut Your Hair, which I was like, yep, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. You know, just get it, not get it out of the way, but so tongue in cheek that I just loved it. And I got to see them there. And then I went to Pitchfork Fest that year as well. Oh, wow. To see him. So I got to see him twice there.
Where was the Pitchfork Fest? In Chicago?
Yep, in Chicago. And I'd been to that a couple of times. I lived in Minneapolis and I had my, I was seeing someone whose brother lived, he was going to grad school down there. So we had a free place to stay, which makes, Chicago, Chicago's reasonable now.
Yeah.
We can drive down, we can take the L and just have a great time. And you know, it's a festival, so you're far away, but I, you know, had my stupid little digital camera. I still have videos somewhere, you know, of that, but no.
It was,
Well, it was one of those things where it's like, this is a band that was so important to me at when they were a band, like in that 2-3 year period, and like there's still stuff I'm listening to. It's still always going back to it, but now they're coming back. And again, it was a thing I never thought would happen. It's like that the Pixies were never going to happen, just like the Replacements were never going to happen. And those happened. So I was, ecstatic.
Never say never.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what do you think we get to track 31? Give it a spin and come back on the other side and talk about track number 31.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. We'll be right back.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
31.
Increase Mather told her daddy, I roundly disagree with you. Your vocal style's too reachy. All the vocals mock your teaching. But Cotton, he was just so oblivious to all their cut. Please. Soon the town folk took to it. In every pew they looked to him for guidance, just like eyeless lambs awaiting that old kebab stand. A skeptic's form, the nation's born, want to have a Cotton's tree. But increase had them out to them, they burned on open fire. So the word spread just like small in the Sudan. Don't you cry. Give it a day, 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 give it a day. Years and years have passed since the Puritans invaded our soil. Just like those terrorists, you'll never know. Today the gods can't make us quake. We see our lives as situations. Eyes are eyes and teeth are teeth. While mine are rotten underneath. I got two ways we can separate from the clan. I could fly. I could fly. I hope you profited from this bulletin and stabilized your land. You gentrified your Alzheimer's clan, but your father is another one of them. I don't want to mention him again, cause I talked to him last night. He hates my guts. We had a fight and he called you a slut. Girl, why is that? What?
At 31, give it a day. What do you think, Scott from North Dakota?
This is a gem, and I love it so much. I love the whole EP because, again, this would have been something I did not discover until, you know, well after I knew all of Wowie Zowie, all of Bright in the Corners, and it wasn't something I easily could, have. And They said, we're not going to waste this time. So they came together. And I mean, the whole EP itself, less than 10 minutes, but it is so much fun the entire time. And Give It a Day itself, like, I love lyrics. I love knowing the lyrics. And I don't often put too much thought into that. But when you go read, I mean, about the people that are in the song, you know, referencing Increase Mather and John Cotton and Cotton Mather and the Puritans. And it's almost like was somebody reading a book about the Puritans and the Salem witch trials and these people. And we're like, you know what? We can actually, I just read something about this. We can throw it together. And it's just top to bottom, just lick after lick after lick. And the poppiness and the looseness of it. And yes, I mean,
total pop gem, total pop.
I mean, and
the melody is infectious.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those two where it clocks in. Oh, I got Wikipedia I'm looking at here, but it clocks in at 2:37 and I'll find myself listening to just that song for like 10-15 minutes in a row, because it's and every time, you know, whether it's the chorus, whether it's the very beginning where the lyrics start right away, whether it's the last line of the song, what did you do to him to make him think? Which, again, it's kind of like the, I think it's at the end of Crooked Rain, or maybe it's the other one where it just kind of trails off. It's like almost a sentence, but not.
Yeah.
And top to bottom, just fun. And again, on that EP, followed up with Gangsters and Pranksters, which another gem that's just very, very fun. And
they were in a fun mood, weren't they?
Yeah. And it does. And this is the kind of thing too, where it brings me to some of his early solo work, that there's just fun songs in it. And these are fun songs. It's not, you know, there's a certain way I feel when I hear Grounded or, you know, We Dance, that it's almost like this, not solemn, but I'm not happy when I'm listening to it. Like if Grounded comes on at a certain time, it cripples me. And this will never cripple me. This will always pick me up. And I love that in a song.
Yeah.
You can just put it on and be happy.
Do you remember Nike used to have this app that you could have on your phone and you could program a power song? So if you were running, you know, and you got to the near end, you could click right to your power song and it would drive you through the finish line. My power song happens to be Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
Wow, that's
because it's so bouncy and so fun. But I could easily see it being Give It a Day, because it's also very bouncy and fun. Now, obviously the lyrics are darker, but the way he's singing them, the cadence of the way he's singing them, like the phrasing is sublime.
Yep. And again, like you said, there is a ton of dark, you know, connotations in there that, unless, like, again, I went and looked up Wikipedia because I was like, I know these names and I think they have something to do with this. And then I read about it and I'm like, ugh, yeah, this is a dark part of American history. And it's just like, no, it's just, you know,
eyes and teeth
or teeth, but mine are rotten underneath. It's like just the wordsmithing. Love it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, he probably, some of it, like melodically, came up with it on the fly. You know, like in that session. Like, I don't know how many days they recorded, but I don't think it was many.
I thought three? They said it was four.
Okay.
Which, I mean, even to come up with anything. And one, and they did, again, I learned this reading, but the No More Kings, which is on that Schoolhouse Rock record.
Oh, okay.
They did at the same time, I guess, which that was news to me. So, but that's, I mean, that they got that much done in that little time. And yes, there were only three of them, you know, Spiral and Mark weren't there, which again, kind of leans me into his solo work a little bit, because there are things that, you know, you look at Jenny and the S-Dog, which is, you know, just a gem, you know, it tells this story. And same thing here, we got this really light and poppy and just repetitive, like a song that you can repeat really quickly and easily. But if you dig into it, it's like, oh no. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 110%. Is there anything else about the song that you want to discuss?
I think it's interesting that there's only one chorus.
Yeah.
It's just in the middle, and it's repeated, and how he does it and how he staggers it, I've always loved, you know, because it's like da 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 da. Each one is slightly different.
Yeah.
And the last one just kind of fades out, and it's like, could we have added another section to that? And would that have added or taken away from the song? Because I'm not a huge short song person, because I get to the end and I'm like, oh, I got to hear that again. I got to hear it again. But if you give me something that's 12 or 15 minutes, sometimes I can just kind of get lost in it.
Right.
Like, you know, certain things, you know, like old Mogwai and, you know, old other stuff that is a huge, just really dense chunk of material that I can't see trimming down. But if you added to this, would it take away from it as well? I think
I don't know, but the one thing I can venture a guess on is if it had another 45 seconds, this would be like a single, like a like I don't know if it would have been a smash hit single, but to me, it's got single written all over it. It's so catchy. It's so goddamn catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
and again, so this you said this is 31?
31. So is it properly rated in your book, or should it be higher rated? Should it be lower rated?
It's tough. I always find that tough with any band ranking them when you look at EPs and, you know, maybe split singles, because it's not an album release. And this is, I mean, someone quoted that, oh, it's right here. It isn't much more of than a throwaway, but an extremely enjoyable one. And I think where it is, I don't think it's overachieving. I think it's pretty close. I don't think it would make my top 20. Just because I was so ingrained on the LPs for so long. And I mean, I didn't even have an actual copy of this until the expanded edition of Wowie Zowie came out. I had heard it plenty of times, I never had owned a copy. So I didn't have the repetition with it like I did everything else. So I think it's pretty close. I think for it to be a 2-minute and 37-second song that is just enjoyable front to back, no all killer, no filler, I think it's pretty close to where it should be.
Nice. Well, that's what I've got for you. I really want to thank you so much, Scott from North Dakota.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to plug at all?
Not really. I just am a music enjoyer that, you know, I'm so happy that these guys did another reunion tour as well, which now that I had a time and a little bit of money. So I got to see them three more times on this tour, which...
Oh, brilliant.
I got to see them in St. Paul, and then I just went to Chicago for two shows. And just, again, what amazed me about those shows, too, is the first tour they went through, the set list, I guess, didn't move that much. And about the only song I didn't get to hear that I wanted to, three nights in a row, they didn't play Frontwards. And I was dying to hear Frontwards. They played it the night before and the night after.
But
Night to Night to Night, I think the set switched, because huge sets too. They're playing 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I think the songs changed almost 50% Night to Night to Night, which
outdid himself.
Oh my God. If I'm going to go three nights in a row and I'm going to get, I'm going to get maybe Cut Your Hair all three nights, which is fine. It's not my favorite song, but you know, I got Pueblo, I got Grounded twice, I got Folk Jam, which I love Folk Jam. Just such a weird, funky little song. And
did you get the Hex?
Yes. We got the Hex.
Jammed the fuck out of that, right?
Oh my God. And that's the thing. Like, I used to think Finn was my favorite closing song.
Yeah.
And going back and listening to the Hex with the guitar solos, and like, I love Finn because I love how it fades out and just keeps fading and fading. And I just keep turning up the volume until it's absolutely gone. And the Hex is just this beast of a sprawling thing, and just do 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 do. Oh yeah,
yeah,
love that. So, and the last night I treated myself. I literally was orchestra pit, front row center.
Oh,
I was nice. Like, I'm a single guy. I don't have anything, outside of, I don't have kids or anything to spend money on except myself, so I can be a little bit whatever, but absolutely worth it. Just being right up front, and hopefully whatever these guys keep doing, they keep doing it. They seem to be enjoying it. They're obviously due for a break and to get back to, Preston School of Industry and Malkmus' solo stuff and whatever the other, and the Stanovich doing horse stuff. They have other interests, but that they've been able to do this for now, 2 years.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And I couldn't be happier with it.
If I was a man of unlimited means, I'd be going to South America for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, luckily for me, it happened during it was in Chicago. And again, I teach, I get two personal days a year. I used them both in September because, of course, I'm not going to miss Pavement. So for the rest of the year, I had no personal days. I'm fine with that. Absolutely fine with that. No problem at all.
You did well. And you did well today, too. I really want to thank you so much.
Yeah, this was awesome.
So take good care of yourself and make sure to wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.